Okay? Yeah, you can play the flute during Jarrah Mado. I want to thank everybody for coming here in this heat. At least you get a free sauna bath today. We don't charge anything for the sauna bath. So is there some arrangement for those who don't speak English or understand English? Back there. Okay, good. So today we want to speak about something maybe a little bit different during the Sunday feast or Sunday program. I'm going to talk about something, maybe it's a new topic for all of you. It's called the Dasa Mula. Has anyone heard of the Dasa Mula before? Good. It's all new for all of you. So, thank you very much. Dhanyavad. That means thank you in Hindi. So, these Mula actually means root. And Dasa means 10. Everybody got that? So these are the 10 root understandings of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy that have been given to us by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is a great teacher in our disciplic succession, coming before Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who came before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who came before Srila Prabhupada, has oftentimes mentioned these 10 basic points in Krishna consciousness. And he says, if you learn and study these, you'll become free and happy. So it's a simple method. Very easy, and if you hear it today, you'll become free, happy, Krishna conscious, and go back to Godhead. How about that? So, 10 points. And one of the points, the first point is called pramana. And the other ones are called prameya. There's a little interesting Sanskrit words for you. Pramana means, basically, how do you know what you know? In English, there's a fancy word called epistemology, which means how do you know what you know? And so, in other words, establishing what is evidence. Why do we believe what we believe in? Okay? And then the next 9 points are called prameya, what there is to believe in. So let's talk about... Oh, let's mention Lord Chaitanya first, because these are Lord Chaitanya's teachings, his 10 basic root teachings. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. For those of you who don't know, who appeared a little over 500 years ago, and he appeared to teach us how to be a devotee, how to be devotees. In the previous yuga, Krishna appeared in Dwarpa Yuga. Krishna appeared and taught us how, basically, to annihilate the miscreants. But in Kali Yuga, this is the age of quarrel. We need a good example how to be Krishna conscious, how to progress in spiritual life. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are his principles. The first principle, as we mentioned before, is pramana. How do we know what we know? So the first principle, number one, is the Vedic literatures are accepted as authority about the absolute truth. Now, there's other methods of receiving knowledge. One of them is called pratyaksha. You don't have to learn that Sanskrit word, which means seeing or sensory experience. But that is faulty. Why do we say that's faulty? Because you can see something that doesn't exist, and you can also not see something that does exist. There's something called a mirage. Does everybody know what a mirage is? I mean, sometimes you see when it's a very hot day like today, you're driving down the street, and you see water in the distance. That's called a mirage. So, because we have imperfect senses, seeing is not necessarily believing. Or seen is not necessarily the truth. And there's other material methods of understanding things, such as deriving principles from limited observations. In other words, If you see one devotee, two devotees, let's say you see two devotees who are pure devotees, then you may think all devotees are pure devotees. Not true. All devotees are not pure devotees. Some devotees are, some devotees are not. So you may have a limited number of examples. So, in other words, acquiring knowledge or spiritual knowledge through the senses or through the mind, these are imperfect methods of acquiring knowledge. But the perfect method of acquiring knowledge is called the descending process, that which comes from above. So the Vedic literatures are literatures that have been passed down in disciplic succession, such as the Bhagavad Gita, such as the Srimad Bhagavatam. And these literatures contain information about the Absolute Truth, and that's how we know what the Absolute Truth is. It's not that I think Krishna is God, and you think someone else is God, but it's that the knowledge coming from above, Dharman Tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, states that Krishna is God. And in fact, that's the second point. We finish with the first point. First point is, how do you know what you know about God or about the Absolute Truth? Second point is, Krishna is God, and he's the source of all the incarnations. And we find information about that in the Bhagavatam. Eti Changsa Kalakpumsa, Krishna is too, Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And therefore, we accept Krishna as God. Of course, Krishna has multifarious incarnations. They're all God. You know, karma, matcha. There's thousands and thousands of incarnations. Incarnation means when God comes down to this earth planet. So, that's the second point. The third point is Krishna has infinite powers. That's the nature of God. In other words, when we describe God, he's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good, all these all designations. That's what God is. So he has all powers. He's so powerful that he doesn't even have to do anything to accomplish anything. He just wants it to happen, and it happens. And he's on vacation all the time. That's all powerful. See, all of you and myself, we have to work. And then after you work, you get a little bit of money, you decide how to spend it. But the interesting thing is Krishna never has to work. He's Galoka Eva Nibhashati Akilatma Bhuta. He's always enjoying with his girlfriend. I'm not saying you should always enjoy with a girlfriend, but Krishna is always in the spiritual world enjoying, and whatever he wishes happens, and he doesn't have to do anything. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I'll give you a practical story that illustrates that. Once upon a time, a man walked into a Hindu temple. Of course, most of you don't know what a Hindu temple is. But let me describe what a Hindu temple is. A Hindu temple is where people worship all these different, what we call demigods. Demigods means people who work for God. They're employees. God's the boss, and they work for God. But they're confused. They think that demigods, most Hindus think that demigods are just the gods. You know, a whole bunch of gods. And they worship them all, and in these Hindu temples, they have sometimes 20 different altars. Pretty good, isn't it? Because they don't want to miss anybody. So they'll have Shiva, they'll have Ganesh, they'll have Mahavir. I mean, so many different deities that they have. And each one will have their own curtain. And if you happen to be a worship of Durga, you open your curtain that day. And to worship of Ganesh, you open your curtain. Shiva, you open your curtain. And there's Krishna there, too. So, once upon a time, a man walked into the temple, and he wasn't a Hindu. And he looked at all the different deities, and he pointed out to Krishna. He said, "That is God." The rest of them work for him. And the pujari didn't even know who God was. He just thought, they're all the gods. And this is how I make my living anyway. You know, people give donations, pujari gets rich. This is India. Of course, this, we're not in India now, so you don't understand this. So so the Pujari asked this gentleman, why do you think that this Krishna is God? And the gentleman answered, because everybody else on the altar, all the altars, is working. And Krishna is just playing his flute, like we had our flute player here, with his girlfriend. So that means he's enjoying, because God is the supreme enjoyer. So that's what it means that to say Krishna has infinite powers. He can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, and nobody could question him. Pretty good, isn't it? He's supremely swarat, supremely independent, doesn't need anyone else. We all need someone else. Just like today someone cooked my prasadam, and I need that. Tomorrow someone will drive me to the airport. I need that. Of course I can drive myself. But that's another issue. So I need people. But Krishna doesn't need anyone. In fact, Krishna creates. Let me give you a story about this. Once upon a time, some demigods, like Indra, wanted to see if Krishna needed some girlfriends. Interesting story. So Krishna was appearing in the form of Naranarayan Rishi, meditating in the Himalayas, and Indra, one of the demigods, wanted to try to attract Krishna, and Krishna, he brought down all these Heavenly Society girls who were dancing Bharatanatyam for Krishna. And what happened is that Krishna just yawned, and he created some more beautiful girls from his own body. And he said to Indra, you can take one back with you, if you like. And that, of course, was Urvasi, this famous personality in the Vedic literatures. Okay, so that's the third quality. Krishna has unlimited potencies, unlimited power. We are one of his potencies. The material energy is one of his potencies. The spiritual world is one of his potencies. He can lift Govardhan Hill with the pinky of his left hand. He didn't even need to do that. If he just wished, Govardhan Hill would float in the air. Didn't even need to do that. The next, number four, remember, if you learn all these, you can go back to Godhead. Good deal. So number four is, Krishna is an ocean of ras. Let me explain what I mean. Ras means a taste from relationships. We have different relationships in this world. Like we have friends, we have people who love us, we have our parents, we have someone who we serve, someone who we worship. And so Krishna is an ocean of these different relationships. He has so many different relationships. In addition to basic relationships, Krishna has other relationships, indirect rasas, it's called. Like Krishna also gets angry. Krishna gets shocked sometimes. Krishna is humorous. Everything, all possible emotions, which are called bhavas in Sanskrit, Krishna is manifest in Krishna. Therefore,
battery low.
Ooh. Even my phone talks to me. The phone's not too happy with me. Anyway, let me turn.
There it is.
There, okay. It won't talk to me now. I'm the only one who can use a mobile phone during class. So, because I'm broadcasting. So, basically, when we talk about ocean of ras, Krishna, we talk about Krishna's spiritual energy, Samvit, Sandini, Ladini, the energy that maintains the spiritual world, the energy that gives intelligence in the spirit, the cognitive, it's called cognitive, it's a fancy word, and the enjoying propensity or enjoying energy of Krishna. So Krishna is an ocean of ras. And knowing that, we'll get to number five, that the soul, that's us, is part and parcel of Krishna. We have the same qualities as Krishna does. Pretty interesting, isn't it? In other words, we can also enjoy ras. Of course, we're not an ocean of ras. We're a lake or a puddle of rasa. Anyway, so we can enjoy all these different relationships too, but in relationship to Krishna, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, as Krishna says in the Gita. Mami vangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manakshastani indriyani prakutistani karshati. That we also are parts and parcels of Krishna. Same qualities, but less quantity. Okay, that's number five. And number six is that certain souls, that's us again, are in Maya. What does that mean, Maya? Maya means illusion. Why are we in illusion? Because we decided to turn our faces away from Krishna. Originally, we were Krishna conscious entities. And what happened is we didn't like the fact that Krishna was in the center. We got jealous. You ever get jealous of someone? No? No one here has ever gotten jealous. You're all pure devotees. Envious, jealous. You know, someone has a better car, a better mobile phone. Then you get jealous. So Krishna has everything. So it's easy to get jealous of Krishna. Because he has everything. He has the best girlfriend, the best vehicle, Garuda, most intelligent person, he's the richest person. It's easy. So we got envious of Krishna, therefore we were sent to this world, and we got covered by the three modes of material nature that are controlling us at every minute. Like the puppet is controlled by strings, marionette is controlled by strings. Bhagavad Gita states this: Nahi kaschit chanamapi chatatishtati karmakrit karyate yavasakarma sarva prakriti jagrana. So that's our position. And then the next one, number seven, certain souls are not in Maya. And those are souls like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who came down from the spiritual world. That's called the Shaktivesh Avatar. And also there are souls that made their way back to the spiritual world. So those souls, we need to take their association of. Because by taking the association of great personalities, one can actually be Krishna conscious. And so that's the next one. And the next one is all phenomena, that means everything you see, spiritual and material phenomena, are one with and different from Krishna simultaneously. Now that, let me explain that in greater depth. This is called, in Sanskrit, achincha, veda, abheda, tattva philosophy. That everything is the same and different from Krishna simultaneously. What that means is that, let's take the sun. The sun emanates the sun rays. And these sun rays, in one sense, are the same as the sun, but in another sense are different because they're emanations, so they come from the sun. For example, if the sun was shining here and you opened curtains, if we had curtains here, because it's too hot to have the sun shining in here, you'd say, let the sun in. So you can't let the sun in the room because you'd all be cremated instantaneously if the sun came in the room. But we consider the sun and the sunshine to be non-different. So therefore, Krishna and his energies are non-different and different simultaneously. Very important point. So the energies are emanations from the emanator, the person who produces that. And we are one of the energies. Krishna's energies are described as three types. The jiva soul, that's us. And we're called marginal energy because we can associate with illusion or we can associate with Krishna. That's, we're on the margin. And then there's the spiritual energy, which is where Krishna is in the spiritual world, and All the devotees are under the jurisdiction, the pure devotees, under the jurisdiction of Krishna's spiritual energy. And then there's the material energy, which is called the vidya karma. It means ignorant activities. And that's what we're here doing. We're an illusion, thinking that we're this body. We're thinking we're white or black or Slovenian or American or male or female. And we function on that basis, and we have all of our fallible soldiers connected to this body. Fallible soldiers means, you know, family members, everything like that. Or nationality or group or something like that. So, anyway, so these are Krishna's energies, and the ninth principle is the only means for getting out of this material world is to execute pure devotional service. And pure devotional service, the benefit of pure devotional service, there's six qualities that are benefits of pure devotional service, that, first of all, it frees you immediately from distress. The second quality is it gives you transcendental happiness. And then, other qualities, such as it's auspicious, it's rarely achieved, and persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness are not interested in impersonal liberation because they want to serve Krishna eternally. This is the goal, to serve Krishna eternally, exchanging ras with him in the spiritual world. And then the last principle is, I said, it's rarely achieved, and it's the only means for controlling Krishna. So if you become a pure devotee of the Lord, you can control Krishna by your devotion. Of course, the topmost pure devotee is Srimati Radharani. And was he sleeping? Yeah, keep him up. It's hard when it's hot, I understand. You should fan him. Get the peacock fan and fan him. And Srimati Radharani is able to control Krishna. And a devotee like Srila Prabhupada is able to control Krishna by his devotion. When Prabhupada makes a promise, one promise that Prabhupada made to all of us is that if we engage in the process of sadhana bhakti throughout this lifetime, Krishna will come and take us back to Godhead. Now that's pretty amazing. Because normally, as Krishna states in the Gita, Vohunam Janmanamante. It takes many, many births before one becomes Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. Understand Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Understand Krishna and truth. But by Prabhupada's promise, it will happen in one lifetime. And even Krishna understands that principle, that he's controlled by his devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks Arjuna to declare it boldly, Kunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati, that his devotee will never perish. And why does Krishna ask Arjuna to declare it? Because people may not trust Krishna. Because Krishna is a little tricky. If you read the Mahabharata, you'll see that Krishna, he played a lot of tricks. He broke promises, did all so many things. However, when a devotee declares it, Krishna is duty-bound to do that. It's very, very interesting. So the process of pure devotional service consists of nine different activities. All these are devotional service. And what's the first activity? Does anyone know? Hearing. Shravanam. So sometimes people say, I want to do service, and reading is not service. But reading is service. If you read about Krishna, if you study Krishna, you are worshipping Krishna with your intelligence, the Bhagavad Gita says. So the devotees should regularly, everyone should regularly read Vedic literatures, because these Vedic literatures are the sound representation or manifestation or incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then after Shravanam, guess what you do? Anyone know? Kirtanam. Because the best way to remember something, which is Smaranam, which comes after that, is to talk about it. Just like they say, if you sit in class, you'll learn maybe 10%. Probably most of you could have just absorbed maybe 2% of what I say today, if I'm lucky. But then, if you practice it, you learn a little bit more. But if you teach it, then you can get to 100%. Right? Just like the way I learned many Sanskrit verses when I was a new devotee, was that every day I would pick a verse and I would go out and speak to people about that verse. And then I'd remember it. Pretty nice, isn't it? That's a way you can learn thousands of verses. You preach, well, don't want to use the word preach, share. That's more politically correct. You share the knowledge that you have, and then that's Shravan, and then Smaranam. Then you can remember. And then, after Smaranam, there's Pada Sevanam. Pada Sevanam means basically serving the lotus feet, but it doesn't mean you just like go to everybody's feet and you cut their toenails or something like that. Or with the ladies, you paint their toenails different colors. It doesn't mean that. It means you become a humble servant. Not only a humble servant of devotees, but you understand you're a servant of everybody. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that if you want to become humble, Trinadapi Sunichina, as Lord Chaitanya says, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, not wanting respect, then you offer respect to all others. That's Padasevanam. And so we can serve everybody. We serve, let's say, a more advanced devotee by just doing what they say, obviously. And we serve equally advanced devotees by sharing Krishna conscious knowledge with them, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, giving gifts, accepting gifts, tadati pratiknati, guyamakiti prichati, revealing the mind in confidence, like this. And we serve all humanity and all living entities by giving them Krishna consciousness. Just like today, I was walking in the park here, nice park. It's a little hot. But anyway, I was walking in the park and I saw some birds and I was chanting to them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Repeat after me, Hare Krishna. To the birds, not you, the birds. So we served, I was thinking, now here I am, I'm supposed to serve the birds. Actually, I wanted to offer obeisances to the bird, but I didn't. Because, why would I offer obeisances? Because who's in the heart of the bird? Krishna. So Krishna's in the heart of the bird. That's why we offer obeisances and respects to all living entities. And then after that, Archanam. Archanam is a very nice program that we offer our food to Krishna. We offer some arti. We set up a little altar. Those of you who don't live in the temple, those of you who are first learning about Krishna consciousness, you set up a little altar in your home and with pictures of Krishna, pictures of Prabhupada, and you offer respects. That's simple archanam. You don't. Of course, you can come to the temple, which is very wonderful, and see Panchatattva, Shishi Gordatai. But even in your home, you can set up a little altar. And that really focuses you. Actually, Prabhupada wanted us to distribute deities on Sankirtan. Did you know that? Prabhupada said we should have little Gornatai deities, not Radhakrishna deities, of course, and call them happy dolls. And tell people that if they put this on their bookshelf, and it should come with a little piece of paper, chant this mantra, put some fruit before these deities, then they will become very fortunate. So Prabhupada wanted that. Actually, we do that. In our temple in the United States, we have these little happy dolls. We distribute to people in Sankirtan. Because if they come in contact with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and there's no offenses in worshipping Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they'll become devotees. So Prabhupada actually wanted Chaitanya Nitai deities installed in everyone's house. So then after that, the next process of devotional service is Vandanam, which means, anyone know? Any devotees here? No devotees. offering prayers. My dear Lord Krishna, please save me from this material world. Please let me understand Krishna consciousness. Please let me become empowered to preach Krishna consciousness. Please. Whatever. That's a prayer. Save me. Basically, save me. Ainanda Tunuja Kingaram. Like Lord Chaitanya teaches us. Then after that, dasham, and becoming a servant, understanding your position. And then, as you advance more, sakyam, understand the Lord is your friend. Vaktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshram surinam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrichati. If you want to become peaceful, understand that the Lord is your friend. He's the well-wisher, Lord of all the worlds, and He's with you all the time. I realized that when I first chanted Hare Krishna, I could take my friend with me wherever I went. Pretty good. Your portable friend. Not your mobile phone. You can text to Krishna all the time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hare. Isn't that cool? You can be with Krishna, you just need to go, Hare Krishna. Krishna's there. Govinda! Ram! Nrisimhadev! Wow. So, Krishna's your friend. Sakyam. And then finally, Atmanivedanam. That's a little advance for all of you. Atmanivedanam means complete surrender. That's scary. Isn't it? Complete surrender, Krishna, whatever you want. You may crush me by your embrace. You may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Anything and everything. Uh-oh. No. Yeah, that's Atmanivedanam. So when we're ready, we do this. So these are the 9 processes of devotional service. And so that's the 9th principle of Dashamula. And finally, the 10th one is pure love of God is the final objective. And pure love of God means you realize who you are in the spiritual world, as well as Swarup City. And even though you're in this world here at the same time, this is called Jivan Mukta, you're enacting your pastimes with Krishna internally. That's the real world. This world here is just an illusion. You're not actually here. Can you believe that? You're not here in this room. You're the soul and the heart, transcendentally situated, and you're seeing this room through these eyes, just like you may be watching television. I mean, it's a little more fancy than that. It's something called virtual reality. Some of you may be familiar with virtual reality, where they put these glasses on. Anyone's heard about that before? And they think that they're somewhere else than they're actually in. So we have this, we're in virtual reality, or for those of you who saw the film, The Matrix. Some of you may have seen that. So we're in this virtual world, but the soul is not here. The soul is transcendentally situated. And we're thinking we're here. So, Krishna consciousness means, yes, you still work in this world, but you know you're not of this world. And your real life is internal, relating with Krishna in the spiritual world in one of the 5 basic rasas, which we mentioned before. That means worshiping Krishna, passive adoration, or serving Krishna, becoming the friend of Krishna, becoming the parent of Krishna, or becoming the lover of Krishna. And that's what pure devotional service is. And that's what satisfies the heart. When one reaches that platform, one experiences unlimited ecstasy, unlimited emotions. As we chant every morning, the devotees here chant, Mahaprabhu Kirtana and Richagita Varitra Madhya and Manaso Rasena, that when a devotee chants or remembers Krishna, he feels so much ecstasy, his hair stand on end. Tears come from his eyes like torrents of rain. And he feels quivering in his body. And it's not Parkinson's disease. Jai. Confirmed by Sri Sri Panchatattva, Sri Sri Gornatai Jai. So, these are the Dashamula points. You remember these. function according to these, Dashamulva points, and it's guaranteed you will attain eternal life, go back to home, back to Godhead. So any questions or comments? We don't want to keep everybody for too long. Yes? How? Like book distribution? Yes. 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 No, you get a little piece of paper that explains, don't offer meat, fish, or eggs, obviously, to Gauranga. And chant this mantra in front of the deity. Because people are thinking of good luck charms. You know, when I was, I hate to mention this, when I was young, we considered like a rabbit's foot to be a good luck charm. And of course, you don't do that here. Or a four-leaf clover, or, you know, there's different good luck charms you have. Or sometimes people study astrology and they get these rings with all the different jewels on them, and they think that's good luck. So, people accept it like that, that if you simply chant this mantra, then you'll have everything you ever wanted. You explain it like that. Here, this is for you. Put these on your bookshelf. And people take them. So in what happened is in China, the devotees started to produce these. And that's where we ordered them from. We ordered hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sets of these little Gauranga deities like this. They're in plastic, not metal. Because metal would have been too expensive. And we just distributed them like a book. Here is some deities for you. It's good luck. You want to have good luck? Yeah. Okay, put these on your bookshelf. Prabhupada actually said that. So, that would be interesting, isn't it? Because Gauranga are very merciful. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurata Senama. What does that mean? That Lord Chaitanya... This is a prayer written by Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent, I mean most kind, hearted, open personality of Godhead and, that ever appeared. Because he's giving something freely out, love of God. You don't have to work for it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't work for it, but anyway. So, because Krishna in the Gita says you have to work for it. He says, Sarva dharmam puricharya mam ekam sharanam braja. Just surrender. But Lord Chaitanya says, Dina hina yata chilo harinam udarila. Whether you're fallen, whether you're elevated, just chant Hare Krishna. And the evidence for that, tarashakshai jagai madai, is jagai madai. They were two drunkards, and they became pure devotees. And they even attack Lord Nityananda and they became pure devotees. Because they had to ask for forgiveness after that. So, we have to give people... That's the reason this temple is so ecstatic. This is perhaps the most ecstatic temple in ISKCON. I hate to say that. I don't say that everywhere. I definitely don't. I mean, it has so much energy that I feel like I'm 50 years younger. Because Panchatattva are here. And Panchatattva were freely distributing, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya and his associates broke open the storehouse of love of God because nobody had the price to pay for it. And they distributed freely. And so Panchatattva were distributing this most elevated, most wonderful, ecstatic, there's the word ecstatic, amazing gift freely to everybody. Wow. Just take darshan of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and your life is perfect. And they don't even consider offenses. That's why before chanting Hare Krishna, what do we chant? Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. There's Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram, then Dvaitacharya, who is Mahavishnu, and then you have Gadadhar, who is Radharani, and you have Shivas Thakur, who is Narada Muni. Wow! You got everybody there. And also you got Bhaktivrinda, too. That means the rest of the devotees. That's us. So we're even included in the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Think about that for a second. The Panchatattva Maha Mantra is so merciful, it includes us. Isn't it? Gaura Bhaktivinoda. If you're actually a devotee of Gaura, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Interesting realization, isn't it? No other mantra includes us. So, any other questions? Quick questions, because I know you all want prasad. Yes?
What are the spiritual entities and what are entities in general?
What are the what entities?
Spiritual entities. Scriptural.
What are the spiritual entities? Spiritual entities. Oh, spiritual entities. Those are the residents in the spiritual world.
And what are entities in general?
Entities just means persons. It's just a word for persons. Like, you know, there's entities in different bodies, like a bird is an entity. In the context that I'm using, it's any soul that either in the material or spiritual world.
Can also a ghost be an entity? A ghost
is an entity. Yeah. Ghost is an entity because it's a soul with a subtle material body that's looking for a gross material body. The entities. I mean, sometimes the word entity in English means ghost. Depending on what's called the context, where the word is, the word may mean different things. So, if you say, you're being attacked by entities, that means ghosts. If I say, there's many living entities, that's all the living entities. If I say, there's a supreme entity, that's Krishna. So that's what entity. Entity basically means any being, conscious being. Ghosts in the temple here? I don't think so. I don't see any. How can there be ghosts where the holy name is chanted? Oh, but they've gone. They've left now. Because we chanted to get rid of, once upon a time, Srila Prabhupada got rid of ghosts too. There's two stories about Prabhupada getting rid of ghosts. One is that Prabhupada wanted to rent a building for his chemical factory. He was a pharmacist before he took sannyas. And so he found a very cheap building in the middle of the city. And the reason it was so cheap is there were ghosts there. So Prabhupada bought it. And he went in, got rid of the ghosts. And he got a good deal. So if you ever want to buy a house in the city, make a rumor that there's ghosts there. And you play some music, you know, at night, you know, chains and everything like that. And nobody will buy it. And then you get it for a very good price. Prabhupada was very intelligent like that. Another time Prabhupada was in John Lennon's estate, and there was a house there that had ghosts in it. So Prabhupada said, I'll take care of it. He went into the house, started knocking on the walls. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Ghost gone. So I don't worry about ghosts. I just chant Nishinga. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Good.
Like ghost?
No, Krishna's not a ghost. He's present here, yes. Even if you cannot see, Krishna's present. Krishna's not a ghost. You just can't see him. A ghost means a person like you and me who did something so bad they couldn't get a gross body anymore. And they hang around certain places like bars. That's why they keep bars dark. If you go into a bar, you get a bright light, they get very angry with you. There's one place I go to for preaching. It's not a bar. It's part of my GBC zone. It's a city in the United States called New Orleans. It's the most sinful city, I think, pretty much anywhere besides Las Vegas. Anyway, and there's bars. Every other store is a bar. And we go in Harinam there, chanting. We have actually have our Rath Yatra through this place. But if you walk there, you can actually literally see the ghosts hanging from the trees. And also, anyway, we don't want to tell ghost stories. So if that one dies under intoxication, if one commits suicide, they become ghosts. And then they are looking for ways to take over someone. I don't want to scare anybody. Looking for ways to take over someone's body so they can enjoy through your body. And the way that they do that is they look for intoxicated people, because when you're intoxicated, it opens up the chakras and they can enter into your body. Nice. Okay, so Krishna's not a ghost. He's present here. He's very tangible. You go to Vrindavan, you go to any holy place, any temple, Krishna can be experienced. So there's many things that are not ghosts that are subtle. So any other quick questions? Otherwise we should end, because... Oh yeah, quick question.
Is there the enlightenment of the spiritual sky, because then there's, the planets are self-illuminated?
Well, there's no darkness in the spiritual sky. But there is a sun and moon and all the things. They're not missing anything. Not missing anything. But it doesn't get dark, because everything is effulgent. Krishna can light everything up by his own effulgence, and all the living entities there, everything is self-effulgent. So no darkness. Although there's apparently day and night, because Krishna has various pastimes. Without getting into too much detail, there's this thing called the Ashtakaliya Leela, where Krishna has different times of the day that he does different things. You've heard of this before? Anyway, don't worry about it now. It's very advanced stuff. So like in the morning, Krishna wakes up. Anyway, I won't tell you what he does. So chant Hare Krishna and you'll understand it. But Krishna has times of the day that he does different things. He goes and eats at a certain time. He sneaks out of his house to be with the gopis at another time. That's called Ashta Kaliya. Ashta means eight. He has basically eight different times of the day. And he does certain things, and devotees meditate on those different times. The first time is during Brahma Muhurta, where Krishna goes to Mangalarti. No, Krishna doesn't go to Mangalarti. He has his own Mangalarti. I'm not going to talk about it. It's too intimate for me to talk about in a Sunday program. But there are times of the day, and Krishna doesn't need a watch. He knows the time. Because Krishna is time. But there's no material time. So you may say, time? There's no time in the spiritual world. But somehow or other, there's a perception of different things that happen at different times of the day. How that is? It's a chincha. A chincha means inconceivable to us who have material senses and material mind. But it's there. Everything we have here is there in the spiritual world. This world, according to the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is a reflection of the spiritual world. So whatever you see in a mirror has to be there in the real world. I mean, in the real side of the mirror, right? I mean, it's not that you're going to see something in the mirror, see like you're some ghost, maybe you will. But anyway, it's not you're going to see something in the mirror that's not there, that it is there in the real world. It's like sometimes we look in the mirror and you think, oh, who's that old man in the mirror? And they'd realize it's me. So, because it's there in the real world. So this material world is a reflection. So everything we have here is there in the spiritual world. There is even... I don't want to mention this, but I will. Intoxication in the spiritual world. There's pastimes where Krishna is drinking honey wine in the spiritual world. That's a shock. And then Anyway, I won't get further into that. It's too intimate. So, Krishna, yeah, whatever we have here, you're not going to be missing anything. You won't miss your mobile phones. Because you can communicate without it. So, I think we have to end now because it's time for prasadam and it's very warm. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaura Nitai, Ki Jai, Panchatattva, Ki Jai.